Well done, Bobby Charlton. Well done, Manchester United.
Into Sheringham, and Solskjaer has done it!
Bobby Charlton saved it! United again!
Ready!
On this week's United Hour, there's another four-goal win to analyse as United slay the Swansea bogey monster. We focus on the defence and Henrik Mkhitaryan before going back to 2003 in the United Hour time machine. Finally, we look ahead to the visit of Leicester City to Old Trafford. Welcome to United Hour, your official Red Cafe podcast on all things Manchester United. I'm Nick.
I'm Colin.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Craig.
Yeah, welcome to Craig, also known as Schmiznerf on Red Cafe, joining us from Poland, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but you're Welsh. I think I could tell from recording. Yeah. I won't get into how a Welsh guy ends up in Poland, but yeah, maybe on a future episode.
It's always a woman.
yeah, all right, that makes sense. So yeah, we had a great recording last week, great start to the season, and continued that with another 4-0 great win. No need to mess around. So yeah, let's get straight into thoughts on the performance. Colm?
I was very, very pleased with the result. I was... The 3 minutes where we scored the last three goals, which is amazing. It was just, I was elated. Broadly, I thought the performance was quite average. I thought we actually struggled in a lot of ways. I never really felt like we were going to lose the game. I didn't feel like they were going to come back into it. It didn't feel like last season where you knew Sigurdsson was going to hit that free kick to equalise or whoever it was against every other team we drew against. It didn't feel like it was coming. So I felt secure, but I just wasn't happy with the football that was being played. You know, it was tidy in parts. It was almost there. And then it just wasn't, and I think that's for a few reasons. I'm sure we'll touch on later. But broadly speaking, you know, you have to be happy with 2-4-0 victories, you know, in the open two games of the season. I don't think that's ever been done, certainly not by us before. And it was fantastic and great to see again some people score. I love to see Lukaku score. I love to see Martial score. Pogba had a difficult game and came through with a great goal. So a lot of things to be really pleased about, and it did all click in the end. And we really did wore them down, you know, but. It wasn't the quality of football that we saw. We lacked the confidence that we saw on the opening day of the season against West Ham, and I don't think there was much between the two sides, so I didn't really understand. Obviously, we're away, and in fairness, the Swansea crowd were, you know, they were bang up for it, and the Swansea team pressed really, really effectively and really choked the game in a tactical way, as you would expect from a Paul Clement team, more so than West Ham did. But, you know, I thought the 4-0 flattered us.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of said that last week a bit against West Ham as well, and
you must have been really disappointed this week then.
well, look, Swansea were better organised for sure than West Ham. I think that was the big difference. But yeah, you know, like again, there was a lot of things that were very similar in this game. You know, late goals, that kind of thing. There was so many similarities, but of course, one was played at home, one was played away. I mean, Alex, what else? What were your further thoughts on it all?
Yeah, so it's sort of similar to Colm. I was ecstatic with the result, but not so much the performance. So I guess sort of when Colm says that he never really felt like they were going to get back into it, I think that's just because of the break in the season. I think if this was last season, after we'd had all those disappointing results of being 1-0 up and then randomly out of nowhere a team would come back and score, we'd have probably felt very similar. Because
well, I think we would have felt similar last season because we didn't have Matic and we didn't have
potentially.
Well, I think we are. I don't think it's fair to say just because it hasn't happened this year, as in it is going to happen. I'm sure it will happen, but we hope not with regularity. But I do think just our whole approach to the game is from a much more commanding position than it was last year. Due to Matic.
Well, I think that's one thing that we can be happy about. So, as much as on the ball, we really struggled to break them down. Obviously, we got the goal from a set piece, which was great after we've been talking about how much we're, you know, pretty much pussycats in the box on set pieces, despite having a team of giants. You know, we got the goal from a set piece, but you can't, from a defensive point of view, we were very much in control again. We always had that extra man. Matic provided a brilliant platform. Jones and Bailly were were very good at the back once again, a very accomplished partnership performance from the two of them. And we were winning the ball back very quickly and building on an attack again, which we did very well. Like, it was a very disciplined performance in that sense. It's just that we didn't have the cutting edge of previous weeks. I think that Lukaku struggles because, you know, he was playing a team who defended so deep. So we spoke about how, you know, Lukaku coming in, and yeah, he might not have the best record against the big teams, but he's got a record against these small teams for Everton. Obviously, when he's playing with Everton, they're not necessarily packing 10 men behind the ball. So I think he struggled to get into the game somewhat. And I was quite surprised that we maybe started with the exact same formation, which we might come onto a little bit more later. But I felt that that just played into their hands a little bit, you know, enabled them to feel fairly comfortable. But then you must say that, you know, we did spur some chances as well. You know, you had that Rashford moment getting into the box once again, one on one, that once again, he made the wrong decision. And that could have completely changed things for us. So yeah, it was from a defensive point of view and turning and the transition from defense into attack very quickly, I was very happy about, but there was just a lack of cutting edge. And maybe that's where either, you know, we're maybe missing someone, or maybe there's someone on the bench who maybe should be starting to sort of make the difference in those moments. But in terms of the result, I think it's, if you isolate it, it's sort of the result that typifies Mourinho's time in the Premier League. So when he joined United, you know, we spoke about how he's sometimes seen as a defensive or negative manager, you know, because he is quite pragmatic. He puts men behind the ball. He wants men to rush back as soon as we've lost the ball. But his teams have always scored goals. That's what we spoke about. And despite us not playing amazing, it was a disciplined performance in that once it got to the 80th minute and we smelled blood because they'd started coming out and there was the opportunity to seize control and to, you know, finish them off ruthlessly, we took that. And I think there's a huge thing to be said about having a ruthless efficiency, because we haven't seen that in the last few years. So, you know, being able to then go and score those three goals, sensing the opportunity to get the second, and then building one, some confidence for our own players, and two, hopefully putting a bit of fear into opposition teams that we come up against in the future. I think those late three goals are very important and very worthwhile. And obviously there's some huge bonuses to be taken from that.
Yeah, no, it all makes sense. But I think it is definitely worth talking about the lineup, because we mentioned it obviously in our preview last week, where I said, look, I'm really interested to see whether Mourinho plays the same kind of two midfielders, or he brings in another midfielder and sacrifices somebody like Mata or Mkhitaryan. And yeah, he's gone with the exact same lineup, which is pretty attacking, especially away from home. I mean, Craig, did you expect that lineup? I don't know if you play the lineup predictions game or that kind of thing. Were you expecting this? What did you think of the lineup?
Yeah, I actually had 10 out of 11 on that, because I thought he would start Martial today instead. Or not today, rather, the other day instead. Because
head of Rashford.
Yeah, because obviously Martial came on the other day and he kicked it into overdrive for us. And then he scored a goal, and I believe he got the assist as well. And so I thought Mourinho would bring him on from the beginning to put the fear into Swansea straight away. But I could see why he didn't, because he wants him as an impact sub, someone who will come on when the other team is tired and he will run them ragged, and that's what he did. I'm hoping he does start Martial from the beginning a few times at some point, so we can see what he's like as a regular starter now that he's confidence is seemingly back from last season, where he seemed to be a bit down in the dumps all the time.
Yeah, he's definitely knocking on the door for a start. I think actually, Colm, it was you who said last week that you thought he'd bring back Herrera because it was an away game and play a little bit more defensive. I kind of expected that as well, but, you know, like I said, this is really interesting for me because I complained a lot last season about Mourinho setting up too defensively. And so, yeah, I've been really, like, pleasantly surprised in the first game. Or, okay, we're at home, and now he's gone away. All right, they're not, like, one of the strongest opposition we're going to play, but it is still an away game, so it's not going to be as easy as a home game. And he's still gone with that same very attacking lineup. And, yeah, I'm happy to see it. Of course, it didn't work out as well, and we had to go just to the stroke of half-time to get ahead.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, what did you think of it in the terms of the lineup?
Again, it was almost like last week where I said I was surprised when I read the team sheet, but then I immediately consoled myself with the fact that it was just a good decision. You know, I did expect a change, not even so much as that I was expecting such a more difficult game from Swansea, or because we went away that we had to play a three. It was almost more from a sort of a loyalty to Herrera, or a sort of nod to how well he did for us last year, that I didn't think Mourinho would leave him on the bench 2 weeks in a row. You know, this is our player of the year last year, and someone Mourinho spoke about, you know, in glowing terms in the media, and also deployed in very specific roles against big teams, you know. So a player he has a lot of faith in, and he's spoken about that, how Herrera was able to manage himself within the game and make decisions off his own bat, and how he values that so highly in a player. So I just thought, you know, he's clearly a, you know, a first name on the team sheet kind of guy. So I just expected him to come back in. But that was almost a worry, because, and luckily we haven't fallen into this trap, you shouldn't pick your team, you shouldn't pick your formation on who you want to fit in the squad because they did something last year. You know, you pick the best team from what you have, and because of who you're playing up front, that might determine who you're playing in midfield, or because of who you're playing on the left wing, that might determine who you're playing at left back. You know, there's a lot of things to consider. It's about partnerships and how people play off each other. And at the moment, I think what you can see is how much faith he has in Matic, because I don't think, you know, if we hadn't got Matic and we were starting Flanagan and Pogba in the middle, or Herrera and Pogba in the middle, we would play a three. I'm convinced of that. But it shows the faith he has in Matic and the you know, the responsibility he's happy to give him. So I was pleased. I think a lot of people will also be pleased to see that we haven't seen Lingard start. You know, that sounds a bit harsh, and I am a Lingard fan, but, you know, a lot of people, rightly or wrongly, feel he is a squad player, and it is somewhat hard to argue. So they'll be pleased to see him not starting, you know, and that we're relying really on our quality players to try and make them work. Because I do think, you know, the front four, whether it be Rashford, Martial, Mata, Mkhitaryan, and Lukaku, they need to play together, you know, because they're still not, you know, and that was really the problem. They're still not clicking just perfectly. They're still not just that relationship there about who does what and what happens when. And also, they're not aided in any way by almost either fullback. And I may go on to criticise Tony V this episode, which would be a rarity on this podcast. But I thought the fullbacks were extremely poor last week. And, you know, that was a big feature of why we couldn't really capitalise on the space and time that we had.
Yeah, the fullbacks are like, they're increasingly becoming a more and more important position. And I think for some teams and some managers, they are potentially the most important position on the field, because for some teams, the sort of formations and tactics that they typically play against means that all their sort of front thinking players are already taken care of. And you rely on your fullbacks for one, that outlet, which we do. We rely on Blint and Valencia as an outlet all the time. But the problem is, there was a real lack of end product. And I think last season, Tony V did a fantastic job coming in. And I think last season was about him being reliable for us and, you know, being able to adapt to the fullback position and not make mistakes, because previously he'd been caught lacking in concentration or out of position, and people managing to get behind him and him playing the offside trap poorly. Last year, he really managed to consolidate and to really increase his focus, and he had a very sort of defensive role that we did very well, but he still didn't really provide us with anything going forward. He was a great outlet for getting forward, but then once he was there, his crossing was still poor. And when you look at, you know, Real Madrid and Barcelona and the difference that their fullbacks make every single game, I do think that we really sort of lack that top-notch quality in that position. I do think it makes quite a big difference.
I agree, and particularly against Swansea, you know, they played three at the back and then three in midfield. It was just designed to choke us, and this was the only slight disappointment for me up until the sort of 70 or 80th minute when Swansea actually changed their tactics, because they had to come out and play. We didn't combat that in any way. They wanted us to play in the middle, and we played everything through the middle.
Yeah.
You know, that's where all their numbers were. Everything was inside the 18-yard box. We didn't go out. We didn't go down the wings. And it's still the part of me that just bemoans the fact that we haven't bought an actual winger, and we don't have one on the bench. Martial, for me, not an actual winger. Mkhitaryan, not even close to a winger. Mata, the antithesis of a winger. Rashford, trying his best, but still not a winger, you know. And then when all of those players want to come inside and play, and that's great, you know, come around Lukaku. But if you're then going to just try and play passes around, you know, a 20-yard little square that is filled with about 10 people, it's not going to happen. But what it did do was create so much space in behind. But Blint just didn't want to go. He got up to the halfway line, and then he came in inside as well. And just to me, it was so disappointing. He did overlap a wee bit against West Ham. He buccaneered forward, and he was actually very good in that game. But in this game, he just didn't do it in any way, shape or form. Instruction or not, I'm not sure. But if it is instruction, that's very, very, very disappointing to me, because he's going to be the spur man. He's going to get space. He's going to take a defender away to create space for one of your actual attacking players. Because, you know, Rashford was cutting a lonely figure, wanted to do everything himself, and was just running into too many people, double marked. But it's going to be a consistent problem. And for me, it fills me with a bit of fear for what City are going to do, because they've bought two top quality fullbacks. You know, Kyle Walker, very, very, very good fullback in my opinion. Benjamin Mendy, I know less about, but he seems extremely highly rated. So it is such an important, you know, role in today's game, and we haven't addressed it this summer at all. And I think, you know, there's rumours Valencia is carrying an injury that he's having injections for every week and he's struggling with, and that would be bad for us, because I don't see Lindelof as a Buccaneer and right back. The left back doesn't exist unless Luke Shaw comes back and plays very well for us. At the moment, I'd be looking at Dimitri Mitchell, because he at least tries to do the right thing. We don't know what he's like defensively, but we know what he's like offensively. He would be very, very good in that role. And yes, he's young, but I'd rather play a young player who's doing it the right way than keep playing Blind and Darmian, who are not doing what we need in that position.
Yeah, I think, Craig, you keep a bit of an eye on the reserves, don't you? How's Mitchell doing over there?
Yeah, I think Mitchell's doing really well. Like Colm said, he comes forward. He's like a bomb. He just speeds forward insanely fast. And the game I watched the other day, I think he did more attacking than anyone else in the team. But he was still back a lot as well. And he's pretty good. He's someone like who could probably slot into our team right now, to be honest, because he is a fullback who attacks properly. And I think he would do a better job than Blind and Darmian, because, like you said, they just don't do the job properly.
And he did well on tour defensively. He wasn't caught out. You know, he played a lot of minutes on tour at left back, you know, a lot of second halves. And he was never, you know, I don't remember any explicit, you know, because he has a lot of pace to get back in. What he lacks is size. That, you know, that's great. But Blind never wins a header anyway. So, you know, and at least he has the pace to sort of bail himself out of trouble. Jones and Bailey look to be having a really, really strong partnership. And I just think we have so much of the ball, and we have Matic dropping in and covering, that we can afford ourselves, you know. You know, is Marcelo brilliant defensively? Is he? Or is he just very fast and gets back and does the job? But mainly they keep the ball so well that they don't actually spend that much time defending. And his tremendous worth offensively offsets all those problems that are never really caused anyway, because no team can keep the ball against them anyway.
Lint ball in. It's Pogba! And it's in! Manchester United have the lead with half-time looming. Eric Bailly is claiming the ball and the credit for the goal. John Moss has just checked his watch.
Yes, you mentioned Bailey Jones there, Colm. Yeah, it's interesting that, look, they've started both of our two games so far. I think if we'd had a bit of a poll before the season started and who people thought were going to start, I doubt many people would have been picking Phil Jones, actually. I mean, I think most people probably would have thought that it's Bailey plus one other. You know, obviously there was quite a lot of expectation on Lindelof coming in, but I think we all kind of agree he's not quite ready. You know, there's Smalling there. Obviously, Rojo is injured at the moment. But yeah, Craig, what do you think? Bailey Jones is our best option at the moment, or would you be bringing in Smalling?
To be honest, I don't think Smalling is reliable enough at the back. He makes a lot of mistakes. And Jones is very, very solid. I remember in the preseason game against the first one against Real Madrid, Bailly and Jones, just they killed it. Real Madrid couldn't get through at all. And it was thanks to those two partnering up. And they're doing a very solid job so far. And if it wasn't for Rojo being injured, I think Rojo would be the one there with Bailly, and Jones would probably be on the bench. But he's making a very strong case for himself right now, because when Rojo does actually come back from being injured, like, do we start him as a centre-back with Bailly, or do we keep Jones? Like, will Jones keep up the way he is right now and do the job for us that we need him to do at the back? And I think if he does, then Rojo will be fighting hard to get a place in the team, to be honest.
Yeah, personally, I've never had any question marks about Jones's ability. It's obviously always been a problem about injuries. And then, because of those injuries, he's never quite progressed his game as much as he might have done if he was managing to play, you know, 30, 40 games a season. But yeah, look, if he can stay fit, then yeah, I'm very happy for him to be a regular there.
Also, it's nice to see, because he's been here for so long and he deserves a full season. Yeah. You know, like, because he's going to be such a what-if player, another player ruined by injury, you know, probably even more so than like of a Danny Elbeck or someone else, you know, someone who just can't stay fit for any meaningful portion of a season and then just discludes himself, not on footballing terms, but just on his own fitness.
Just happy Rossi.
Yeah, you know, I would be so glad if he just managed to maintain fitness even more so than form, you know.
It's just great how front footed he is. Like, he nips in front and wins the ball back so often, and that really keeps us on the front foot. You know, it doesn't really give their striker the chance to sort of take a touch, keep hold of the ball, bring other players in, play the ball off, and let them build an attack. He's so great at nipping in front of us, winning it back straight away, and then we can explode forward. And I think he's been sort of a key reason that we've been able to transition so quickly this season.
I think as a centre back, I think he's extremely well rounded. His passing's good, not great. You know, he's calm, but he's not, you know, a presence. He's brilliant in the air, but again, he's not just totally dominant. But he does everything like an 8 out of 10, and that's really good. That's a great ability in itself, because you normally find with centre backs, you know, they're physically dominant, but they have terrible feet, like Smalling. Or like Rojo.
Yeah, they've got some blind weakness.
Always have a bit of a mistake, or you know, he's always lunging in or making a rash challenge. You know, there's always something that pulls away. But Jones, actually, you wouldn't say there's a great deal of weaknesses in his game. In the same way, there's no sort of glaring, you know, I'm brilliant at this. But he's just very, very, very capable across the board and very, very solid.
Yeah. More importantly, there seems to be an understanding there, because centre back position is more about partnerships than the individual. You know, we hear so many great managers and players of the past talk about how, you know, at four mediocre centre backs who understand each other well and know their roles and know when to go, when to press, when to cover, that, you know, that's better than four fantastic defensive individuals who, you know, who maybe don't have that understanding and communication between them. And they haven't really been tested as of yet, of course, but they seem to have a good understanding from what we've seen so far. Because sometimes in those games where there isn't a great deal of defensive work to be done, that's when you see that understanding fall apart, you know, where that lack in concentration can come in. And we haven't seen that yet. So, I'm really impressed by what we've seen. More importantly, with Craig on the podcast, we now have someone else who says bye and not Bailey, which I'm really pleased about.
Did I not say bye? I'm pretty sure I said bye.
You might, yeah. I know
pretty
that Nick
sure
doesn't.
I say bye.
You definitely sure say Bailey. Listen back. 100%.
I thought Nick was a bit in the Bailey camp. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Martial. Anthony Martial lets it go for Mkhitaryan. It's Lukaku! Lukaku for Manchester United is going to be something you hear a lot of this season. He's had a quietish game, but when the big chance arrived, he was in just the right place to gobble it up.
Going back to the game then. So, we obviously managed to go in half-time 1-0 up, just about. And yeah, I mean, I had a few messages with a mate of mine who was saying, you know, United are nowhere near as good as they were last week. What's going on? And I said, look, I'm sure now Swansea will have to come and attack a bit more. We'll open up, and I'm pretty sure we'll put this game to bed with a few more goals early in the second half. But yeah, look, we had to fight all the way till 10 minutes left. And yeah, it's been a kind of thing that happened in the first match and in this match, that it wasn't until we made these couple of substitutions that we really then managed to put this game to bed. I mean, it's the same substitutions as well as we had against West Ham, and around the same time, like 75th minute, Rashford goes off, Martial comes in, Mata goes off, Fellaini comes in, and then yeah, we 5 minutes later, we've all of a sudden scored 2-3 goals, and it was kind of similar against West Ham as well. Craig, what do you think is the big difference there, and when these players are coming in, on why we're all of a sudden managing to kill these teams off?
Different styles of play. Martial is much better than Rashford at taking players on. Rashford doesn't really know how to get past people properly. We noticed it in the game when, like, any time he was faced with a few people in the front, he either tried to shoot or pass it off, whereas Martial will try and go past properly. Like, you could see for his goal, he actually went past a few. And that's one of the things that he brings to the team that Rashford doesn't. Like, I think someone said on either Twitter or Red Calf that if we could combine Rashford's pace with Martial's ability to take on players and score, that we'd have the perfect player. And I agree there, because that's Martial's great at that, and he looks like a strong person, like, and the fact that he's always got like this face on him that makes him look angry means that I think some players will be unwilling to go for him, because they think he will just barrel them down to the floor if they come near him. And so, like, maybe players are reticent to try, and that's like one of the positives there. Yeah. And with Fellaini as well, he's a big physical person. And you came on for Mata, you said, didn't you?
Yeah.
Mata's quick, Fellaini's strong, and it brings another part of the game. And when those two came on, Swansea actually, they switched their formation to try and contain Martial. They switched from 3-4. And that was one of the things that helped us as well, because when there was three at the back, they were just focused on Lukaku. And then when the four came on, they had to split their focus between everyone. And Martial was able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think the other big thing as well is that Fellaini kind of comes in and he releases Pogba a bit more. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, he's ended up in both of these games getting late goals, because he's ended up in slightly freer positions going forward. And then, yeah, the other player as well that we've not really talked about that much so far this season is Henrik Mkhitaryan. Mm. I mean, last season, the whole year, he only managed to get one assist in the league. And this season, he's already got four, two in each game. And, you know, he got the two assists that kind of killed this game off for us with the goal at the 80th and 82nd minute, one for Lukaku and one for Pogba. How do you think he's progressing, Alex? Because, you know, he had a bit of a stop-start season last year and didn't really feature that much. People thought he was going to leave. But now he's, you know, very much a first-team choice.
Yeah, it's really interesting, actually. So, I mean, I think he's actually got a history of being quite a stop-start player. You know, his time at Dortmund, he had two excellent seasons and one terrible season. And it seems like he carries that throughout the season with him, and he finds it hard. He's not a player who has patches of form throughout a season. It's more fantastic season, poor season, fantastic season. But I think just a change in how we play has helped him quite a lot, because he's, when those subs come on, and I think also just a general tiredness from the opposition, both mentally and physically, it enables him that space. And when Martial comes on and starts driving at players, because the ball glues to his feet, he's able to do it throughout that sort of middle third. He drives at them. They completely just back off. And for both this goal and his assist to Martial last week, he's kind of got the ball, and it was a one-touch pass to play someone in. And he's got that ability to just make that pass at the right moment, you know, in the right context straight away. He doesn't need to take a touch first. He doesn't need to think about it. He has that vision and that ability. And one really interesting thing, actually, is that, you know, we speak about Matic freeing up Pogba. We Colm touched earlier on how having Matic there has enabled him to play two in the middle away at Swansea and keep Matic starting in this game. But also, Mkhitaryan would not still be on the pitch for three of his assists this season. You know, three of his assists have come after the 80th minute. How many games last season did Mkhitaryan finish that he started? You know, typically, he's going off 60, 70 minutes in. But either one, because of Matic, and two, just a general more, you know, he's more comfortable in this league now. He's adapted a little bit better. Mourinho's giving him more trust towards the end of the games, and he can be that different maker when they're starting to tire and when we're becoming a bit more explosive. And he's sort of provided that cutting edge for us in those moments, which is fantastic.
Mkhitaryan, what a run! Pogba lifts it over Fabianski to really seal the deal. Running away with it in the space of just over a minute. One has become three. Driving run from Mkhitaryan. Pogba goes on at just the right time, at just the right pace, to be in just the right place. And it's an easy, lazy lift to make it Swansea 0, United 3.
Yeah, look, we're still a work in progress. You know, there's still new players bedding in. That, you know, so we're going to get better as the season goes on, that's for sure. But look, two matches in, eight goals scored, two clean sheets, we're top of the league, we're gonna win the league, right? You know. But yeah, look, there's a good thread at the moment, discussion on Red Cafe, you know, saying when can we actually start being excited? And you know, let's not forget that we won our first three games of the season last year, and it didn't really go in the right direction after that. But yeah, I mean, Craig, what do you think? Is it time to get excited, or do we need to just wait a couple of months and see where we're at? What do you reckon?
I mean, it's time to start feeling a little bit of joy and a little bit of optimism, but not too much, because if we get too optimistic, we risk turning into the supporters of another team that I dare not mention. maybe we'll win the league, maybe we won't. You know, we've got to be careful. Like, and last year, like, to be honest, I think the victories last year, the first three, were quite hard fought, especially the third game, which was against Watford, I believe, where Rashford scored in like the second minute of extra time, which...
Yeah, Rooney squared it back. Rooney. Oh, we miss him so much.
I think it was Hull, wasn't it? But yeah.
Yeah, but like, they were hard fought, whereas like the one against West Ham, we didn't fight as much because it was easy for us, because we just pushed them so much that they couldn't fight against us. And even Swansea, like, we didn't play as well as against West Ham. But we pushed and pushed and pushed until we got the goal, and until we finally got the three in the few minutes, which was a nightmare to sort on Twitter, because by the time I finished one tweet saying the goal, the other goal went in, and then the other goal went in. So it's like three tweets in the space of a second. So
how dare they?
Yeah, we can get optimistic a little bit, but you shouldn't get too excited. I mean, if I get too excited, I'll just end up disappointed again, I think.
Yeah, that's certainly what Post Fergie has taught us, is don't get excited. You haven't turned a corner when you think you've turned a corner. I'm happy to jump on the boat, Nick, and say I'm excited. It doesn't mean I think we're going to win the league. It means I think we can. I thought we could in the summertime, and nothing's changed. I get excited just to watch us next week. You know, I get excited to see Pogba score hopefully more than 10 goals and get some assists this year. I see excited to see Mkhitaryan turn into the player we saw at Dortmund. I see excited to see if Martial or Rashford will put it together. Equally very frustrating, particularly with Rashford after last weekend. You know, I get extremely excited by Matic and Lukaku because I just think they're both such great signings. So I think there's so much to be excited about. And when all that is translating into good performances and goals, you know, why would you not be excited? Would we rather be Liverpool, who, you know, are scraping draws and wins, you know, and not playing well? Or, you know, what more could you want from your opening two games of the season to get excited about? And I understand people wanting to be cautious, but, you know, you have to enjoy the white there, because we could get, you know, we could get pumped by Leicester next weekend, and then there'll be plenty of time to be depressed.
Obviously, yeah, obviously you can't extrapolate two games and say that we're going to win the league, but I guess the point of contention that I have with the people who are kind of like, oh, we don't want to get excited, we haven't been tested yet, there were two poor teams. Firstly, there are no weak teams really in the Premier League, you know, anymore. Every game is a potential test. Yeah, obviously some teams end up rolling over, but you don't know that until you play them, because every team has the potential to get a result, and we see that all the time. And last season, there was very little difference between 8th place and 17th place. They were pretty much the same. So West Ham and Swansea is the typical Premier League team that you're going to play. And the sort of the other games, so the top 6 games, if you look at last season again, Liverpool topped to that mini top 6 league. I think they won 5, drew 5. They didn't lose. They were way ahead of everyone else in that league. Did they win the league? No. Did they come close? No. They finished 4th. You know, you don't necessarily win the league against the top teams. So that's a completely separate issue, and you can still be very happy that, first of all, you know, West Ham gave us the chance to get a 4-0 win, but we took it because quite often we maybe wouldn't have, and it gave us a huge amount of confidence. But secondly, that against a team who were quite tough, and last year, I think that game going the way it went yesterday, we probably would have drawn last year. I do believe that. Or it would have ended 1-0 at best. This year, we had that ruthless efficiency to take them out and to finish the game off, and then to go and hunt more, and to give the players confidence moving forwards, and hopefully put a bit of fear in the opposition. So I do think that there's room to get excited. Yeah, you might not win the league, but we can definitely be happy with where we're at so far.
Yeah, and as well, I think there's a good difference. You know, something we complained about last season was we'd go 1-0 up, and then we'd go really defensive, like too defensive. You know, whatever, Fellaini would come on or somebody like, and you know, Fellaini's coming on this season as well, but he's not coming on to just shut up shop. He's coming on maybe to free other players to actually go for the kill. That is a big difference for me and something I'm really happy to see. Like I say, for me, as long as we're playing top attacking football, then yeah, I'm going to be excited about going to the match every week. You know, whether we win the league or not, we've got a while to go, and let's see until we get a couple of big games, not really been tested yet. But that's a great thing that we've got a good set of opening fixtures that's giving our players time to start getting into some rhythm, start getting some understanding. And I think I've got the fixtures in front of me, but I think maybe Tottenham is our first kind of top six or something. But yeah, I'll go and have a look at the fixtures later. But you know, we should start getting a bit excited, but yeah, let's see what happens over the next couple of months with our fixtures coming up. We've got Champions League draw this week as well. So yeah, that's going to come into the mix. Let's see where we end up going there. And once we start playing twice a week, it obviously makes a big difference.
100%.
And the squad, you know, the squad should start being tested a bit more then. That probably actually is a good time to go to a question we had from Twitter from Diego GDB. I've got no idea what the GDB stands for, but Diego asked us, what do you think about a midfield trio of Matic, Pogba, Herrera? So obviously, Colm, you mentioned, you know, we're quite surprised not to have seen much of Herrera at all this season. So am I. I, like as mentioned last week, I had him originally in my fantasy football team. I actually took him out. And yeah, he got five minutes at the end of this. Well, yeah, look. Yeah, well, if he's not guaranteed to start anymore, sure. Then yeah, what can you do? But yeah, he's still a big favourite player of mine, and he's a favourite player of the fans as well. Like, he's got quite a regular song coming in there now. And yeah, I actually thought that that was going to be our first choice midfield this season, Matic, Pogba, Herrera, but we've not seen it yet. You know, do you think we will see that?
I'm absolutely sure we'll see it, particularly in big games or difficult games where we're going to come up against a midfield that's as good as ours or can compete with ours. And I think that's no bad thing. I can only see them doing quite well together, I have to say. I think Matic, again, is a big part of the equation in that he'd set Mopet up. He's so sharp into the tackle. He harries people. He's aggressive, but he does it in a really good way where he's, you know, he doesn't give away tons of fouls. Has he made, you know, I can't think of any really, you know, glaring fouls he's given away. He's so good at actually just nicking the ball and launching counterattacks, so that's very strong. Pogba started fantastically. Herrera will come in, and the only thing there is I think Herrera, like Matic, plays so much off the front foot. You know, Harry so aggressively does, you know, deny space, will go forward right to right wing or right up to the goalkeeper to, you know, press the ball. And I think that's very good. I think, you know, that will help Matic and that will help Pogba. My only concern with that midfield three, and I think one of the reasons why we haven't seen it yet, is that it's let down by the front three, I think. I think in lacking wingers, actual wingers, we take away from that system. So when we did play it in pre-season, I noticed that Lukaku was so isolated. It basically ended up like a 4-5-1 with Lukaku about 40 yards from anyone else, because Mourinho still wanted the wingers to tuck in to track fullbacks and stuff like that, which I was quite disappointed about. And then when the wingers do get the ball, they don't play like wingers. They don't hold width. They want to drop in and play in Herrera's space or in Pogba's space. So then it's not like a 4-3-3 at all. And I think that's maybe the issue we have in that regard, in that if we had, you know, I would even like to see Martial on the left and Rashford on the right when we're playing. If we are going to play that 4-3-3, I know that's harsh on Mkhitaryan. He's such a good player. Maybe you then miss that playmaker, but allow Pogba and Herrera to go. You know, Matic will hold. Allow Pogba and Herrera to play as too high, not even eights, too really pushing forward midfielders. Because otherwise, I think we look too disjointed. Our attack looks much too far away from our midfield to really be effective, and then Lukaku just gets left alone basically to do it himself. So I think we will see it in the big games, but I would worry because it'll be Mickey on the right and Rashford and Martial on the left. And again, I think we'll struggle to get those players close enough because they're all going to be too far away from each other. So I think that's maybe why we haven't seen it yet, as well as the fact that we haven't come up against those good teams yet. But I think the midfield three definitely, definitely, definitely can work. And Herrera is a big favourite of mine. So, you know, I would really like to see him in the team. Same with Pereira. You know, he was obviously promised minutes this year, and you know, at the moment, with just two spots in midfield and Fellaini and Herrera obviously coming off the bench and other players who can fill that gaps, you know, the competition is seriously high to get any kind of minutes.
Martial. Could be another four-goal haul for United. Here's Martial. And Martial does make it four. Running through at will. For the second game in a row, he comes off the bench to join in the goal-scoring fun, making a point himself. He doesn't want to go anywhere.
but it's also making a point to the rest of the league about the sort of strength and depth that United have. And the final score today will make this game look a lot more easy than it has been by and large for United. Swansea 0, United 4.
So yeah, next, we've got about a week or so of the transfer window left. I don't think I'm expecting anybody else to come in. Let's see if we get any surprises there. But yeah, a bit of interesting story has been coming out on that Premier League clubs are going to be voting on whether to close the transfer window before the season starts. And saw in the press conference this week that Jose was saying he's in favour of that. And I saw actually, Craig, I think you'd done a few tweets about this, hadn't you? Saw you posting a couple of things on there about this story. What do you think about that? I think you were saying you were against this change, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm against it if Europe doesn't follow suit. If the rest of Europe does close their window at the same time as ours, then I think it would be a good idea. But whilst ours is closed for, like, because the thing is, it'll only be closed for Premiership clubs to buy from Premiership clubs. So we can still buy from Europe. But the problem is, like, say, for instance, now with Barcelona and Coutinho, where now, as the Liverpool season started, the day before, Coutinho wants to leave. Barcelona have unsettled him. He wants to go. And suddenly, Liverpool can't buy within the Premiership if they have to sell Coutinho. So now, Premiership clubs, we pay more already for European players because of the TV money. So if we can no longer buy within the Premiership to replace players that have gone, then we have to buy from Europe. And those teams, they've added on the 10, 20 million because of the TV money, but now they're adding on 10, 20 million because they know we have to buy from Europe.
And then so 10, 20 million Man United tax, right?
Yeah, exactly. For us, there's that extra tax as well. So we can be paying like 80 million for a 10 million player or something. And it would be ridiculous. And so, like, if all of Europe does it at the same time, like, say, someone suggested open it the second the seasons end, close it just before they begin, that'd be a good idea because then it allows all of Europe to get it done. But whilst Europe has it open, ours has to stay open. Otherwise, it will be too difficult for us to replace players once they're unsettled.
I completely misunderstood. I thought it was that Premier League clubs just couldn't buy or register players at all, like, from Europe or within.
No, I think it was actually from
Premier League. Just from Premier League. Okay, that obviously is quite different. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's up to the European. At the moment, it's only the Premier League voting on this. You know, the European transfer windows will stay as they are. And I think at the moment as well, places like China or stuff like that have a different transfer window anyway.
Of course, but there's a,
you know, they're not.
There's a big difference between Premier League clubs can't buy from Premier League clubs once the season starts, or just Premier League clubs can't buy once the season starts. There's obviously a huge difference there. So I guess my concern was that if Premier League clubs couldn't buy once the season starts, that just puts us at a huge disadvantage to the rest of Europe who can go and buy those players who, you know, perhaps Premier League clubs weren't able to cross, you know, to cross the line and sell. Obviously, if everyone finished at the same point, then those deals would have to be done quicker or they wouldn't be done at all, which would be a much more preferable solution.
Yeah, and like I think the big issue, of course, is that all of Europe's leagues don't start at the same time. So I guess that's why they've always kept picked a kind of date and said, all right, this is the date we're going for. You know, I think different leagues start at different times and all that kind of thing. But yeah, well, I think the vote is in a couple of weeks' time, 7th of September or something. Premier League clubs are meeting to vote on this and I think they're going to vote for it. So yeah, we'll see what happens from that. It'll be quite a big change in the summer. Yeah, it'll be a big change.
Happened with me so many times with my teams. You are winning 1-0, you are in trouble. You score the second goal, let's close the door and don't give a chance to the opponent. We scored the second goal and the feeling was we can score more, so no need to close the door. So just let the horses run freely and they were magnificent.
So, all right, now we're going to go and look at a bit of our, what we're saying, going back in history segment, Time Machine. We did Brian Robson last week and it went down quite well. So I think Alex had put out to the forum to ask for some options of what we're going for. So, yeah, this week we decided we're going to chat about United back in 2003 to 2006. And the reason is that obviously, yeah, at the moment, we've not had a good few seasons. We've now gone four seasons since Fergie left without winning the league. The last time we had this kind of fallow period was this 2003 to 2006 period. 3 years we went without winning the league. And that's how spoilt we were, that that was the longest period we went without winning the Premier League. I think, you know, we'd actually, I look back at the stats and it was crazy. But yeah, for a decade before that, we won 7 of 10 Premier Leagues. So yeah, we just got used to this glory. And then, yeah, all of a sudden there was a new challenge. Abramovich turned up at Chelsea, bringing just, yeah, bag loads of rubles over. Mourinho, of course, turned up. We had Arsenal's invincible season. And yeah, there was a lot of question marks from people about, yeah, is Fergie done? Do we need a change? I mean, yeah, what do you remember from that period, Colm?
I remember a lot. The things that stay with me personally were signings and recruitment. Was a big issue in that period, I felt. We hit gold, and then we bought a lot of dross, and what ended up had we had quite a weak team by our own standards, and we saw some, you know, team sheets that you would never associate with Manchester United, you know. I think as well you have to give a little bit of credence, as you say, we were so blessed, you know, with how many times we did win it. But you know, as much as it's hyper competitive now, it was still a competitive league. You cannot win it all the time, you know. And that invincible side was an unbelievable side. You know, they were exceptional. Wenger's, you know, crowning achievement, and I'm sure will be the best thing he ever does in football. They were some team. Mourinho in that period, having knocked us out of the Champions League with Porto and then made the move to Chelsea, won it in his first 2 years, was every inch the special one and totally different to the way he is now. You know, it was really his honeymoon period in England. And of course, he's won so much since then and won in every big league that matters. But it was different then, you know. So there was a lot else going on. But for me, you know, to lose the like of Keane, to lose Beckham, to lose these big, big players and then not have them replaced. You know, Varane was a complete flop. To run through some of the names we signed in that period, you know, Foster, Cleberson, Tim Howard, Jemba, Bellion, Dong Fouzou, Alan Smith, you know, it's just, it's not good. It's not good. Giuseppe Rossi, again, another failure. And the only really, you know, people we brought in, of course, Ronaldo and Rooney, you know, were the big, big, but they were young. You know, Ronaldo, I think people gloss over now just how, you know, frustrating Ronaldo was. You know, he came in and I think his debut was in August. He didn't score till November for us, free kick against Pompey. You know, that was like 3 or 4 months he just didn't score for us, you know, and he wasn't just the finished article. He then had a decent season, and then in 2005-06, he again had a pretty poor season before going away to the World Cup. And after that, it all clicked. But I think when players look at, or when people look at Rashford and Martial now, they want at 19 this finished article, and they'll say, oh, but Ronaldo was never like that. You knew with Ronaldo he was going to be a star. You knew it. You just knew it. And I'm not saying that they are on that level. But what I'm saying is no one knew it. People knew Ronaldo had all the potential in the world, but no one knew he would turn into the player he is. And without Ferguson and without United, I don't think he necessarily would have hit those heights, you know? So I think, yeah, for me, recruitment, I think Ferguson went into this big value in the market thing, you know, and started to, he just seemed to always be going for that hidden gem, and more often than not, it didn't work out. But when it did, I mean, we came up with two of our best players, you know, arguably, you know, certainly in the conversation for two of the best players United have ever had, you know?
Yeah, so that's that kind of brought us through those three struggling years, and there was a lot of questions about Fergie, of course, and whether he could turn it round. And at the start of that sort of 06-07 year, which I guess there's some parallels to today, people weren't necessarily sure that we were going to come back and win the league. There was still lots of question marks. So in that summer, we lost Van Nistelrooy. We sold him to Madrid. He'd got fed up, basically, of the faith that Ferguson was putting in Ronaldo and Rooney, the amount of time and effort that he put into them too and persevering with them. He wasn't really happy with that. You know, the season before he left, there was that whole issue of we got to the League Cup final and Sahar had been playing, Louis Sahar, and he ended up playing the final because Ferguson wanted, you know, continue his faith with him. And I think that pissed Van Nistelrooy off a little bit. So to lose him, a player who was scoring 30, 40 goals a season for us, absolute mega influence, dynamite in the box, kind of similar to losing Ibra this summer, you know, scoring so many goals and losing that. And actually, this one signing that we brought in was Carrick, you know, our the guy who Matic is replacing, essentially. We brought in Carrick and that was it. And people didn't feel that was enough. and it was seemingly a very poor summer. But actually, what happened was the season before that, we had bought Van der Sar. You know, finally, we'd replaced Schmeichel properly. You know, we'd got a genuine quality keeper in there, funnily enough, from Fulham. But, you know, obviously he'd had time at Ajax. He'd won the Champions League. He had been at Juventus as well. He was 34. You know, he was a seasoned veteran. He'd had a few years in the Premier League, so we knew he was ready, kind of like some of the signings we made this year. But also in that season, we had signed Vidic and Evra, who had a settling in period, but they now settled. And that meant that going forward, you know, one, we'd lost Van Nistelrooy, but it allowed us to change our system. Carlos Queiroz was, of course, very involved in that. You know, we moved more to a very much counter-attacking style based on, you know, fluid movement and expression, which is something that we're seeing this year a little bit with the explosive nature of us running forward and hounding the opposition at the end and breaking loose. But also, you know, the control that Carrick brought in and the defence, having that settled defence now, who'd been there a season before, like Baye's come in, like Jones has now finally had a period of being settled. Valencia's had that season. It's a bit more settled. We feel that we've replaced, you know, round holes with round pegs. And they all that back line made the team of the year that season, which was obviously fantastic. But yeah, it was really interesting. Actually, we started the season, funnily enough, with a 5-1 win at home to Fulham, just a complete in-control game. And then the second, so, you know, very similar to the West Ham performance. And then the second game was actually a 3-0 win away to Charlton. And we got a goal, I think, from Darren Fletcher, 45th minute-ish, 47th, something like that. Very similar to the game we had against Swansea. And then we kind of struggled on, and it was still 1-0. And then in the 80th minute, we got a goal from Solskjaer, I believe. And then in the 90th minute, Zahar sort of finished them off. And we come away with a 3-0 victory. And it wasn't necessarily the easiest game. It was quite a struggle. But we came out of that away fixture with a 3-0 victory. And I think that does tie into where we are today. You know, we've got these players who played last season and have settled and gelled together. You know, we've lost that sort of forward presence in Ibra, at least we have for now. Whether we've lost it for the season remains to be seen. But that's allowed a change in style. You know, we've got these players who have now settled and hopefully are going to kick on this year. And, you know, whilst this season, I don't think that we're necessarily sure of being favourites for the title, I think there's definitely a lot of hope there and definitely a lot we can take from that period.
Yeah, no, it is interesting to look at and compare today. I had a little trip down memory lane and looking at this period and remembering a few things, and the few things that stood out to me that I thought worth mentioning was, like, yeah, that first kind of 03-04 season was the season that Rio went and had his 8-month ban.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Drugs.
You know, that totally killed us that year.
Yeah.
You know, and we were the champions that year, and there wasn't really any sign or that much worry from fans that we were falling off or anything. But I think that year, that really did kill our season off. You know, of course, I remember Ronaldo's debut. I was there for that Bolton game when he came on, and we weren't struggling. But yeah, after he came on, Well, that was another 4-0 game, just to mention these kind of 4-0 games. We just had a couple. And it was only after he came on that we really destroyed them. And there was a big feeling that, yeah, this guy is going to be a big player. I think, again, Craig, I saw you posting a little bit on Twitter about what are the big debuts you remember. And yeah, on both this period, we obviously had debuts for Ronaldo and Rooney, right? And quite memorable ones.
Yeah, Rooney scored the hat trick and got the assist against Galatasaray, I think.
Fenerbahce?
Oh, yeah, yeah, one of the Turkish teams.
Actually. Yeah, one of those Turkish teams. They're all the same, right? But yeah, I think that's the big kind of things, the players who came through that period where there was faith put in them and then became obviously integral players for bringing us back to the big time, right? I mean, what do you remember most about that, Craig?
One of the main things I remember was how annoyed I was at Abramovich coming in and buying and giving all the money to Chelsea and us suffering a little bit. But then obviously with Ronaldo, like you said, you knew he was going to be something special.
Ronaldo was ripped to shreds on the forum consistently. Like, I think people look at this back and they, because they know what he turned into. Like, it was only until 06-07 when they came back from the World Cup, Ronaldo had his first properly productive, good season for us. And in fact, the season before, he was, you know, he actually had a good season in 04-05, but 05-06, he was not good. And I know what you mean, because he could do everything, and he was such a physical specimen. He scored headers, he scored good finishes, and he was so good with his feet. But he was so, you know, it was like, you know, you could say all those things about Quaresma, but he never turned into the player he was going to be, you know. But people would have said, oh, he will turn out to be a superstar. And I think there was, I'm not saying no one thought he would be the player he was, but I think he was a lot, he was a source of frustration for a lot of United fans. And he was sometimes, you know, oh, he needs to learn how to make decisions. And that was something that just clicked. But it only clicked after like 3 years. United, it wasn't just, you know, that from the start he was going to Madrid because he was going to be a world beater. I don't think that was the case, personally.
It was that Fergie taught him that. He taught him how to make the right decisions. You know, he brought in this player who had all those skills. He had everything, but he wasn't making the right last ball, or he was shooting when he should have passed. And that's what they changed in him. They taught him what gave him that footballing brain, that they say. And, you know, that's what made all the difference for him. I mean, we remember this obviously as a bad period. But yeah, it just showed how sport we was, because we did still win an FA Cup. We won a League Cup. You know, it wasn't a totally fun.
That's like the last few years, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. That's why we talk about all the parallels. We've still got a couple of cups in there. The one thing I think, people also forget is that off the field, this was a real period of instability for the club. You know, people talk about players coming in and we struggled and, Abramovich money. But off the field, there was a lot of problems behind the scenes. I mean, we could do a whole show on it. But if people, younger fans out there, want to go and read about it, then, go and read back about all what was going on in the boardroom. There was the Irish guys, McManus and Magnier, with a cubic expression, who ended up being one of the biggest shareholders in the club. You know, at that time we were listed on the stock market, and they had like whatever 15-20% of the club, and were good friends with Fergie. They then had a massive falling out over this horse, Rocker Gibraltar, ended up in court, and it was a pretty bad move really in the end. I'm sure Fergie regrets going down that line, because these guys decided to buy more of the club and basically started asking a lot of difficult questions, wanted a seat on the board, and just basically decided to cause a lot of shit and a lot of trouble for Fergie, because they weren't happy about him bringing them to court over this horse. That then resulted in the Glazers coming in. They bought all these shares off the Irish and, we took over the club. That was back in the end of the 2005 season. And obviously, that then brought a whole load of turmoil amongst the fans. But, looking back in hindsight, it actually did bring some stability back to the club in the boardroom, but caused a lot of shit along our fan base. And, you know, still today, we see problems from that, where big part of our fan base went off, decided to set up this rival fan club, FC United. And, still even today, we're just kind of getting over that and trying to get the atmosphere and, fans all back together again. But like I say, we could do a whole show on that. And, people should go back if they don't remember and read about what was going on behind the scenes. But, we came through it. And that's the main thing. I always had faith, because I'd seen like Blackburn come and try and throw money, whatever, Leeds try to spend a shitload of money. And each time, Newcastle as well, you know, we had these periods of teams trying to come in and outspend us. But each time Fergie managed to deal with it, managed to get the team through. It took a little bit longer this time. But I always had faith in that he was going to come back through again.
I think the parallels are really interesting. And it seems like anytime you look back, obviously because you're looking for them, but it is funny how you can even point to games that are entirely similar to the games at the start of this season. And, you know, big players left like Keane, Beckham, like Rooney and Ibrahimovic, and then were replaced by young people who then, you know, had their chance to grow into the team and make it their own. So there are a lot of similarities that way, particularly when you're looking for them, as we are. But the one thing that I think is just totally different is we had Fergie, you know, and we had Fergie for, you know, however many, another 10 years almost. And that is a big difference, you know, because he had that continuity and he was the one who could take that. You know, I know people think Mourinho, you know, might be here for long. And obviously Mourinho's kind of, I suppose, more the caliber of manager. So he's at least similar, you know, even if they're not similar in that, you know, he's never had a tenure at a club over however many years in comparison to Fergie, who, although he had great success at Aberdeen, is really a one club man. So I just think that's my only... I just think it's so hard to compare anything footballing wise from Fergie's time post Fergie, because you're missing Fergie.
But
that's an immeasurable,
but as far as I'm concerned. Mourinho has shown a capacity to turn things around. So if you look at when he took over Madrid, they hadn't won a title in 3-4 years. Barcelona were in a complete phase of dominance. They'd been getting knocked out of the Champions League at maybe the last 32, I think, for like 8 years in a row. I think 5 of them to Lyon or something stupid. He went in there and he managed to break up that Barcelona dominance that they'd had. You know, that fantastic period, potentially the greatest team ever. He won the cup in his first season. The second season, he went on to win the league with them. He got them back to the Champions League semi-finals. And yeah, maybe, you know, he left without winning the Champions League, but the season following that, he built that team there that Ancelotti went and won with. You know, we saw it at